Good morning. Wow, that's way loud. I am excited to be able to share with you guys this morning. For those that you don't know, I've been having a lot of health issues the past month or so. If you can't tell, half my face isn't really working quite right yet. And so I was like praying when this happened about 3 weeks ago, like, God, you're going to fix it in time for the sermon, right? Because I knew it was coming up, and just praying and praying, and then the day came and it's still there. So you're gonna have to deal with it a little bit, but it's okay. It kind of ties into what the message is about our problems. And Rex, you know how I got problems. But we're gonna be talking about that today and just what we do go from there. So pardon my speech if I slur a little bit, just try to hear it as best you can. I will slow down for you, Bill, because I know I talk fast. But I just want to open up with a word of prayer. And then we'll go from there. Father God, we thank you so much for just who you are. We thank you, God, that you are in control of everything. You are in control of my speech. You are in control of what's going on today, Lord. You are in control of what's going on in our communities, in our country, in our world, Lord. And we thank you for that you are the one who is in control. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, as we gather together to hear your word, Lord Jesus, that you would be able to speak your truth, your life for me. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have ears to listen, hearts to hear, Lord, what it is you're trying to teach us today. I thank you for who you are and what you're doing in your name. Amen. So, like I mentioned, I have a few things going on in my life over this past month. And so I'm just going to start off with a little story about kind of what happened. It was about a month ago, and I was experiencing some back pain. My shoulder and my back, they just started tensing up. And I get back issues once in a while. That's nothing uncommon for me. I'm always doing something kind of stupid and stuff like that. And so it was really hurting. And a few days went by, and it got worse and worse and worse. And so I was just like, well, I must have pinched something, whatever. But it was different than a pinched nerve, which I've had before. Just like everything was like aching and really hurting. And so after about a week, I decided I better probably go find out, like do something about this. And so growing up, I always kind of, I'm trying to be nice here. I'm not the fondest of chiropractors, but my wife thinks they're pretty cool. And so I decided, you know what, I will go to the chiropractor, because most of the times I go there, it's like you're in there for like, I don't know, 45 seconds or 2 minutes or something like that. They go boom, 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 we're done, and then give you a bill. But I showed up, they did their thing, and I left there. I said, okay, Esther, I went there. Guess what? My back's still hurting. And actually, it got worse. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go in a second time. So I went back to the chiropractor and said, hey, whatever you did, it didn't work. And it's worse. And I said, now, like my chest is actually hurting. It was my back. And now, I don't know if you crushed me or something like that, but my chest is really hurting now too. There's something going on. And he was like, Mike, that's not me. I didn't do that. I said, well, yeah, you did. You kind of went like this. And he said, no, but that's not something that happens when I do that exercise with your body to try to move it and readjust it. That's something more. And then actually he was trying to fix other things. He said, what's that spot, those bruises on your hand? I said, bruises? He said, yeah, there's like bruises in your arms. I was like, oh, they're not bruises. I don't know what they are. It was like a rash. But basically he said, well, you should probably get checked out. And so I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I'll get checked out, and pushed it aside. Just kept on dealing. Like, of course, the chiropractor did nothing again. So I just was getting worse and worse. And then it was my birthday. Happy birthday, Micah. But it was a good day because I was with my family, but it was a bad day, as in I was in pain most of the day. And then that night, I tried to go to bed. I went to bed. I didn't go to sleep, and could not sleep the entire night, like not even 5 minutes, not a minute. Like no matter where I went, I couldn't move. It was tight. It was sore. There was something wrong. And so I woke, well, I didn't wake up. I got out of bed eventually in the morning, and my wife said, Mikey, you really need to get checked out. And so I went to the hospital. I went to the hospital. They did some checks, and they said, yes, there are some rashes. They started checking out. And I said, well, I did have a tick on me like weeks in advance, but I've gotten ticks before, and I pulled them out, and whatever. And I said, I don't know. And they said, well, yeah, let's check you out. And they started checking out. They said, well, that rash right there, that looks like it's from a tick. I said, oh. And then he checked my back. He said, well, you have another one here and another one here. And I was like, oh. So he was like, you definitely have something going on. Let's test your blood. So he did a blood test and took my blood and got the results and said, yes, you have Lyme. And it's Lyme, not Lyme. My daughter, who's working at like a vet clinic, she corrects me because I say Lyme's all the time, but she said it's Lyme disease. So I have Lyme, singular. Seems like a lot of them in there, not just single. But anyways, I have it. And so they prescribed an antibiotic for it. They said, okay, we're going to put you on this. It's going to start taking care of the Lyme and you will feel better. I took it. And within literally a day and a half, my back immediately released. It was pretty awesome. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I'm starting to get my movement back. This is pretty cool. It really was an issue. Okay, cool. So that was, I think, Monday. And then Monday evening, my face started hurting a little bit, but my back was feeling great. And I went to bed. I woke up Tuesday morning, said good morning to my beautiful wife, and she started crying. And I was like, what's wrong now? And I was like, what did I say? What did I do? I mean, I actually kind of slept good last night because I was keeping her up every other night because I wasn't sleeping. I said, what did I do this time? And she's crying. And she gets her phone out and starts taking a video of me. I was like, what are you doing? And she says, look at this. And she shows it to me, and my face isn't moving. It literally wasn't moving. She said, Micah, your face is not moving on that side. There's something going on. I said, well, I know there was something going on, but there's something more going on. And what it was is I had facial palsy stemming from the Lyme singular disease that was in my body. And so I went back to the emergency room. This was two times in a few days. This is great. So I went back to the doctors, had them checked out. They said, okay, yeah, it's more serious than we thought. We're going to have to up your dosage. We're going to have to make it last a lot longer to make sure we clear up everything. But you're going to be this way for a while. So me being me, I finished. I got my extra medicine. I went home and actually we were staying out of the cabin. I went down to the cabin. My wife and sister were there hanging out talking. So I show up and I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, Esther, they said it's bad and it's going to be this way for the next, I don't know how long. This just might be me. And I had them both going for a while. Till I couldn't hold it in anymore. And I said, no, it's not that bad, but it is going to be messed up. I like to mess with people. If you don't know me, I will mess with you eventually. But that's just what I do. But I messed with her. Then Amelie's husband, Drew, showed up later on. I was grilling. He came up. I turned around and did the exact same thing. He's so nice. He didn't know what to do. He was just like, oh, I'm sorry. How are you doing? And I was messing with him a lot. But that's what you're supposed to do with your brother-in-law is you mess with him a lot. So I really mess with him. But we're all good. Everything's good. So the whole point of the story is I messed up, as Rex said. We were having youth group the other day, and I said, I have problems. And I said, we all have problems. And he said, yeah, your face, Micah. And he was like, yeah, your face is a problem. So it's a problem. I slur a little bit. If I drink water in front of you, it'll pour out on the floor. That's kind of fun. Eating's not that great. And the main issue is the blinking. I don't blink. Like, I can't blink on this side. And so for a while, I had to tape my eye shut. After that got really old, I found out they make like these moisture chambers that you put on your eye, and that at least keeps it moist at night. But I believe it's slowly coming back. Some of my wrinkles are showing back up again. It was really smooth at first. But what does this all have to do with what I feel like God's showing me and wants me to share with you guys today? You see, I had a problem, lots of problems, physically. And what I was doing was I was treating the symptoms. My back was hurt. It was in pain. I couldn't move. I was treating that symptom of back pain how I knew. I put ice pack on it. I put heat pack on it. I did things to try to make my back feel better. I eventually broke down and went to the chiropractor, and that didn't help. I was treating all these different things, but that was just treating the symptoms. It wasn't treating what was really wrong with me. And so many times we try to treat the symptoms of things that we see are evident in our life. Maybe the fruit that we are providing is not good. And we're like, okay, But we need to get to the root of it, because the root of my illness, of that Lyme disease, was that it was a Lyme disease, and it was causing all these different things to come about. It caused the facial palsy. It caused the back pain. Caused the muscle aches, all that stuff, that lack of sleep, all that stuff was stemming from something that was inside of me. And until they found out what that root cause was, diagnosed it, and started treating it, I wasn't getting any better. I was getting worse. If I had gone to the doctors at the beginning and had that same test, it would have showed I had Lyme a week and a half, 2 weeks ahead of time. But I didn't know. I treated the symptoms, okay? The longer it progresses, the worse it gets. Most likely I wouldn't have had this, but this happened because I put it off for so long. When we don't treat those symptoms that we're showing, that bad fruit that's coming out of our lives, things are going to get worse and not better. We need to be willing to say, hey, I see there's a problem. What should I do about that problem? And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is addressing the root cause, addressing the main issues. You see, I was focused on the bad fruit rather than digging deeper and addressing the root of my problem, which happened to be, in a physical sense, my Lyme disease. We can try to hide that fruit, but until we deal with the real issue, the root of the problem, the bad fruit is going to keep on showing up. Some of you might have some bad fruit in your lives. And maybe Sunday morning before you come to church, you're like, okay, I'm going to pull this fruit off and this fruit off because I don't want anybody to see this. And we pluck all these fruit off and we show up. We're just a tree. We might not have any fruit, but hey, at least we don't see any bad fruit. And we show up and everything's okay. And we get through the service and we talk to you like, hey, how are you doing? But we have something going on inside of us that's just going to come back forth. Anybody have dandelions in your yard at all? Yeah, a few. Now, I grew up in the country. Dandelions are just part of your yard. It's a decoration. It's a flower. You can even eat them. You can make some good stuff out of them. But I also grew up working at a hardware store, and we sell a lot of stuff to take care of dandelion stuff too as well. So that's the product that we sell, because some people like to have a nice, pristine yard. That's not my yard. Don't come looking at my yard if you want to see that. But that's what some people do. But you know, what you could do to dandelions is they start growing up. You can mow them all down, and most of them disappear. For at least, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. And then they pop back up, right? You can mow them down as much as you want, but they're going to keep on reappearing until what? You either kill that plant or you rip it out at the roots. They make like tools that you can literally pull the root of the dandelion out. And that's how it is with us sometimes. If we aren't willing to deal with that root problem, it's just going to keep on creeping up again and again in our lives. We can't just mow it over. We can't just pluck it off and hide it away. We need to deal with the issue at hand, the root issue. And we do the same thing in our spiritual walk with God lots of times in our spiritual lives. Maybe we try to fix our anger or anxiety or our bad habits, or at least restrain them and trim them down so no one else sees them. We manage the symptoms, but leave the sickness untouched. Are you just managing the symptoms, or are you treating the sickness that's in there? Transformation doesn't happen with simply managing the behavior or the fruit everyone sees. It starts with changing our heart. It's a heart issue. If we have sin in our lives, if we have things that we're dealing with in our lives, anger, if we have bitterness, if we have pride in our lives, those things are creeping in and rooting into our hearts. And the fruit of that will become evident to those around us. And yes, we might be able to hide it for some time, but eventually we're going to mess up and we're going to show up to church and we're going to have a bunch of apples in the back that we didn't see that are bad fruit, and people are going to see it. It's going to come out and people are going to know, wow, there's something going on there. We can't hide it. We need to change it. And so I encourage you guys right now, as we're going through today and the message, start thinking about, is there fruit in your life that is not bringing glory to God? Is there things in your life that need to be dealt with? Are there heart issues at stake that need changed? Proverbs 4, or Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Your heart needs to be guarded. We need to guard our heart. In the same way with my Lyme, what was happening is the tick bit me. It put its parasites, bacteria, into my bloodstream. That's what happens. And guess what your heart does? It pumps your blood. But now that that tick bacteria, that stuff is in your bloodstream, guess what happens? Your heart's pumping it around, circulating around your bodies. And then what they do is they swim around in your bloodstream and they find a place and they go, okay, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. And they start attacking your body. In the same way, if our heart is filled with stuff that is not glorifying to God, if we have anger or bitterness or things in our lives, in our hearts that are rooted in, it's going to go throughout our body. And it's going to start coming out in different areas and different places in our lives. We need to deal with the heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Until we deal with those unhealthy roots in our life, the things in our heart that are unclean, we will keep producing bad fruit. For me personally, as God was walking me through this process of going through Lyme disease and finding out, hey, this needs treated, he was bringing my mind to this passage today, this message today, and I knew it was coming up. And I was like, God was like saying, this is what you're going to be sharing, Micah. But it's not just for you to share it for them, it's for you. Because I also had bad fruit. Anybody's like, oh, Micah, he's giving a message. He works with youth, he works at the church. Does he have bad fruit? Yeah, I had bad fruit too. We all have some bad fruit that we need to work with. And I found I had some things like some insecurities, like, okay, I'm not going to be good enough, or I'm not going to be able to do this. And I had to get to the root of that issue and be like, why? Why am I feeling that insecurity? Why am I feeling like I'm not good enough? Well, maybe because I'm identifying who I am outside of who God calls me and says I am. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am blessed by him. And if I see who I am, how he sees me, those insecurities, they can fall away, because then my root is in him and not in what other people think. I realized I had some anger in my life towards some people. Just might not have been like out, like, I'm, you know, most people haven't heard me yell at many people lately, but sometimes I get frustrated with certain people and it's like, why? And I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's some things that you've been holding on to, some unforgiveness in your life. And I felt like God said, hey, maybe you need to let go of some of those things and move on and say, you know what? I forgive you, and see what happens then. Because when we start ripping out those dandelions, start ripping out those roots, start finding that root cause, our fruit begins to change. Instead of that bitterness coming out as anger, instead of that fear and insecurity coming out and causing us to be this way, God starts healing our lives. Matthew 12, verse 33 says this, says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. We will be recognized by our fruit. You and I are going to be recognized by our fruit. Whether we're in church or we're outside of church, people are going to see us, and by what type of fruit we're giving off is what type of tree they're going to see us as. And we've been called to be trees that are good, trees that are bearing good fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit am I producing? Is it bringing life, or is it bringing death? Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If our fruit is not the fruits of the Spirit, fruits that are bringing about life, fruits that are doing what God has called us to do, then we need to take a moment and look at the condition of our hearts. What's going on in there? We need to be willing to look at the root of the matter. I had to go and realize that, hey, there's something else. The root cause of these problems is the line. But I also had to go and say, hey, the root cause of this insecurity is because I'm not seeing myself as how God sees me. This anger and frustration is maybe there's some unforgiveness in my heart that I need to deal with. Check our hearts. And that brings me to my second point. Once we realize that, hey, it's not so much about the fruit, it's about the root. It's not so much, there will be times when you have bad fruit. There'll be times when you have good fruit. But it's not about what root, it's what roots are in your life. What's going on in your heart? And when you realize that, how do we deal with it? We don't deal with it ourselves. We can't deal with it ourselves. There needs to be somebody else. And that brings me to Micah's problem number two. The first was my lime, as far as my back and my face being all messed up. The second was, it was after I had the tick, but it was a couple of weeks before I got all this facial stuff going on. I was down in the new pavilion putting up some metal sheeting and working, and I was putting the ceiling up, and I got some shards of metal in my eye. So if anybody's experienced like that, whether maybe not shards of metal, but stuff in your eye, you try to rinse it out, you take it out. So I did that. Well, you see, that was weeks ago. And last Monday, as in about a week ago, even Sunday, really, I was having trouble seeing out of not just this eye, but this eye. And I came to church, and Mom was asking, hey, Micah, how are you doing? That's what she does. She's my mom. You know, she's checking in on me. And I said, well, I can't really see very well out of either eye right now. And she said, you should probably get that checked out. I said, yeah, I'm going to go in tomorrow to get things checked out. So I woke up Monday morning, and that's the day I go to Renko. I woke up ready to go to work, and Esther's like, should you call off? Should I drive you in? Because you can't really see. And I was like, no, I'll be good. So I got behind the wheel of the car, and I drove to work, and I didn't have an appointment set up, but I went to work. Eventually, after I was at work for like half an hour, 45 minutes, I thought it was a pretty good idea to let my wife know that I survived and made it to work. So I did. I said, hey, I made it to work, even though I can't really see. Probably should not have been on the road, but I made it there. And basically, I set up an appointment to be seen. And so the earliest they can get me in is early that afternoon. So I, again, called my wife and said, okay, I have another appointment. This is like our weekly date time. It's just to go to the emergency room together. This is what we do. It's pretty cool. So she got to come because at this point, I really couldn't see and I should definitely not be behind the car. Probably shouldn't have been in the morning anyways. But so she drove to work. Well, she got dropped off. My dad actually dropped her off and she took me to the hospital. So we get into the eye clinic and we at Woodbine and I get an appointment, walk up and the lady comes in and says, okay, you're having problems. Yep. She said, okay, you need to sit here on this chair and make sure you can see this TV in the mirror because there's a TV behind me and there's a mirror. She wants me to see the TV in the mirror. I said, okay, cool. So I don't know if I was just, I'm just weird. But I'm sitting in the chair and she said to put make sure I could see the TV in the mirror. So I'm scooting my chair closer and closer because I don't know, it's just the wrong height or something. And I finally got it perfectly. The TV was perfectly centered. I'm a little OCD. So like there's this TV in the mirror. I made it perfectly square. I was like pretty proud of myself. I had it right in the center of the mirror. And she looks at me and she's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm getting the TV in the mirror. You literally told me, make sure I can see the TV in the mirror. She said, back your chair on up. I was like halfway across the floor because I scooted it all the way up to try to get the right. I'm not even that tall. I don't know why it was such a problem. But anyways, I'm pretty short. But I did. I got it there. I was like, whatever, lady. So I backed it all the way up to the door. I kind of scooted it like this, just kind of screech and annoy her a little bit. But I backed it all the way up back to the wall. And I'm sitting there. And I can still see the TV, but it's definitely off-centered. And it's definitely a little high. And it kind of annoyed me. But anyways, she starts the eye exam. Last time I went to eye exam, they didn't have this mirror and stuff. That was probably like 10, 12 years ago, whatever. I don't get my eyes checked very often because I don't normally wear glasses, which is another thing. I have to wear glasses so like things don't hit my eye anymore. So I'm back there getting the first eye exam for over a decade, probably. I'm back there and she starts putting the letters up and I can see them in TV. So she was right at work. But I could see these letters, but they were blurry. And I'm talking like TV screens this big and they were like 3/4 of the screen and they were still blurry. I could read them off. I started reading them off and it got smaller and smaller. And I don't know, they were probably like 3.5 inches high then. And by that point, they were very blurry. And I was kind of just randomly guessing, but I'm pretty good at like reading people. And I could like say the guess. And when she's like, read her face that, hey, Mike, you're wrong. But I mean, it's supposed to be an H. Did I say M? No, it's really an H. And I was going through it and my wife's sitting there in the back just laughing at me. Because she's like, what are you doing, Mike? Just be honest and say what you can see. But I have to get these letters right. So I tried as hard as I could, failed miserably. Then they go to my good eye, which was not very good at the moment. And I thought it was like the medicine kicking in. And because they said that's like a side effect. It could mess up your vision and you could go blind. It's like, great, I'm going to go blind. So they start checking this eye and it's the same thing. It's not as bad, but it's definitely progressively getting worse. So I get through the eye exam, failing, not doing so well. My wife's saying, why are you being so ridiculous, Mike, and making up letters? Just say what's on the board or on the screen. And they take me back to the other room. I'm back there, and she starts scanning my eyes. She's looking at it. She's like, oh, yeah, it's messed up. I said, thank you. I appreciate that. She was like, no, it's really messed up. I said, I know. I have facial palsy. She said, yeah, Mike, I can tell. But it's like, she said, it's all like brush burned and scraped up. And she said, that's normal because what's happening is you're not creating any tears and I'm putting stuff in. But at nighttime, I'm closing my eyelid and taping it shut. And my eyes move when I'm sleeping and it's just scraping it up because it's so dry in there. She said, that's normal. So then she says, let me check your other eye too, just to make sure nothing's going on. She looks at it and she says, Micah, did you do something to your other eye? I'm like, what do you mean? Did I do something to your eye? She said, because there's something wrong with it. I was like, you mean the black dots? And she's like, yeah, the black dots. I said, yeah, my wife told me about that a few days ago because she did. I forgot that part, but she told me there was these black dots. She said, those black dots, they look like metal. I was like, oh. She said, not only are they metal, they're rusting in your eye. There's literal rust forming around those black dots. I said, oh, well, that's not good, is it? And she said, no, it's not good. You're lucky it's not infected. We're going to have to check out. So she said, I will be right back. And I don't know how many of you have been to a doctor before, but when they say they're going to be right back, it's never right back. Like I think right back like a minute, 2 minutes, something like that. It was like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later, she comes back in with a cart and a drill. And she literally puts the drill next to my ear and pushes it so I could hear it. I don't know what she was thinking, but she was very excited about this drill. And I was like, what are you doing with the drill? She said, well, we have to drill the metal out of your eye. I said, no, you don't. She was like, yeah, we got to drill the metal out of your eye. She said, how long has it been there? Probably 3 weeks. Yeah, that's why, because you left it there so long. So I'm looking at this drill. I'm looking at her. And she said, let me try one other thing first, but I'm pretty sure we're going to need the drill. So she takes out these tools and puts my eye like this little clamp thing and these bars for you to hold on to so like you can't move. And so I'm holding on like as tight as I possibly can. And she starts scraping the outside of my eyeball off. And she literally says, I'm going to scrape out the outer layer of your eye. It's like, that makes no sense. But that's what she's going to do. So she starts scraping away my eye. And then she takes these needle and tweezers, put it into your eye. How many people like needles going towards your eye? And she starts working away and pulls them out. And then she's like excited. She says, look, Micah, here's a piece of metal. And see how it's rusted? And it was rusted around it. And then she says, let's keep on looking. She pulled out another one. She was like, start having me do all this stuff. She pulled this metal out of my eye. That had been, my eye had actually grown over, but what was happening is it was rusting, and that rust apparently was messing with my vision, and if I hadn't taken care of it, it could have either got infected or just really caused me to go blind. One piece was like about that long, pointing right up towards the center of my eye. If that would have went up a little deeper, I might not be seeing at all on this side. Then I have a facial palsy eye and a no eye, but anyways, what does this have to do with what God's doing? I got out of there. The next day, my eye vision was not good. She told me it's going to be bad. And it wasn't. I could barely see. This was Monday. So Monday evening, I couldn't see. Thankfully, the week before, I messed with my children and I started acting like it was blind and walking around the house, memorizing things where when it was first going around. And my wife did not like that. She was like, you're putting fear into your kids' eyes. But anyways, that's another story. But I'd already knew. So I showed up Monday and I was like, I know how to get to the kitchen. And I started walking like this and I went like that. And I was able to get around. But Tuesday, I couldn't even kid. I couldn't really see at all. We had this clock in our bedroom and it's black with white and numbers and all that. And all I saw was kind of a dark shape. Couldn't see anything at all. It just, I knew there was something there. Could not focus whether I had my glasses on or got right next to whatever. It was just all blurry. And so eventually it started coming back. And now it's not 100%. She said to take a week or so, but it's, I'd say it's probably like 90% right now. This eye is back. I can read pretty well, stuff like that. What is the moral of the story? We can't always do it by ourselves. And normally we shouldn't do it by ourselves. I got metal in my eye because I wasn't wearing safety glasses, which is another thing I do. But I got metal shards in my eye when I was doing God's work. Anyways, I got metal shards in my eye and I tried to deal with the issue myself. I flushed them out, tried to pull them, wipe away. It hurt like 3 or 4 days long, but I was like, you know, it's just, I can deal with this. This was before my addiction to hospital visits afterwards. So anyways, I was like, I could deal with this and I'm good. And it kind of got better. It just never got really all the better, but the pain went away. And I was trying to solve the issue myself. And that's the same with our lives. If we are producing bad fruit and we're trying to solve the issue ourselves, try to fix that thing, hide those things, deal with those things, we need God. Because his word says there's good trees produce good fruit, bad trees produce bad fruit. We're a bad tree. The only way we're going to become a good tree is by the grace of God. The only way we're going to go from there to here is if God does a work in our lives. We can't change who we are by simply altering our outward behavior. True change or transformation, where a bad tree becomes a good tree, is about renewing of the heart that can only be brought about through God. We need God. In the same way I needed an actual physician to come in there and see the problem and deal with that problem, I could have dug away all I want. I wouldn't have done it. They were down there. They had to pull them out. In the same way, when there's things in our lives, when we have these bad roots, don't do it alone. That's why we have God. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be producing good fruit. He calls us to be producing good fruit. It involves going to him. Until he does that, until he takes care of those things and starts transforming us from the bad to the good, real healing cannot take place. Did my eye heal by myself? Yeah, it healed right over top of that rusty metal in my eye. So can we do stuff by ourselves? Sure. But it's not going to fix the problem. That real healing was not taking place. That eventually was going to continue to rust out and cause major issues in my eye. In the same way, if we try fixing everything ourselves, eventually it's going to eat away at us so much that we're going to go blind, that we're going to not be able to do what we've been called to do. We need to seek God's help. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God needs to be the one to make the change. Until we allow God to get in there and begin working, we will keep on struggling. How do we allow God to make that change? We need to go to him. It involves repentance. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior before, obviously there needs to be a repentance there where it's like, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. But for those of you who are already made that step and have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there are still times where we mess up, where we sin, and we have to say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. This involves repentance. It involves saying, God, I've been holding on to this unforgiveness. I've been holding on to this bitterness. I've been holding on to this pride. I've been holding on to these fears. God, can you forgive me? Can you help me? We need to be willing to admit we were wrong. This involves surrender. Are we willing to surrender to God? Are we willing to give him full control? I needed to be willing to surrender. I mean, I don't normally wear glasses. I don't wear contacts. I don't normally let anybody come near my eyes, but I had to surrender and sit there as this person is putting needles and possibly a drill into my face. The same way, we need to be willing to surrender to God, even if it's scary, even if it involves a needle going towards your eye. If God says, hey, I need to do something in you, and you realize you're producing bad fruit and you need that help from God, be willing to go through whatever it takes. If you mean sitting there and not God and doing a hard work in you, allow it. That's what happens when we surrender. Are we willing to surrender to God? Are we willing to give him control? We need to repent. We need to be willing to surrender. We need to turn away from that old root. Allow him to rip out those dandelions. Allow him to make those changes in our heart. Renew in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. And it involves abiding in him. Not only do we need to repent and surrender to him, we need to abide in him. Abiding means to remain, to stay with him. John 15, verse 5. John 15, 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Spiritual growth, real spiritual growth, is never manufactured. It is grown. It's something that actually takes place. It's nothing we can make. I can stand up here and pretend to be a tree and or a flower and hold these flowers over me. They're just fake. The only way I'm going to really grow flowers out of me is if I'm a flower. In the same way, if we want to be producing good fruit, we need to be a good tree. God wants to make us a good tree so we can produce that good fruit, but it only happens when we abide in him. We need to be connected to the vine. And when we're there, our character transforms. Our heart changes. He starts doing that work within us. He starts pulling out those dandelions. He starts making those changes. And as we are abiding in him, we will draw our life and our help from God. We need to remember who God calls us to be. What does it say there? It says, I am the vine. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus is the vine. You, that's us, are the branches. We're the branches. He is the vine, the trunk, the tree, the main source of life. He's the roots, everything. We are the branches. If you remain in me, which means we need to remain, abide in him. And not just that, but him and us, which he will do when we come to him, we surrender, we repent, and we say, God, we want to be with you. He will meet us where we're at. You will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, we can't go from a bad tree to a good tree. Apart from me going in to see that eye doctor, I wasn't going to get those metal shards out. We need to be connected to the vine. And realize here, we're not the fruit. We are the branches. And furthermore, we're not making the fruit. The fruit might be appearing on our branches, but it's not coming from the branches. Where is it coming from? The fruit is coming from the vine. It's coming from the roots. It's coming from what we are established and rooted in, which needs to be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And when we're rooted in him, that life springs up within us and produces good fruit. How do we abide in him? How do we remain in him? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Live your lives in him. Rooted and built up on him. Are you rooted in him? Is your foundation upon him? Is he your source of life? Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. If our heart is overflowing with thankfulness, that means we're giving thankfulness towards God. And that means we're acknowledging the help comes from him, not from us, not from anything we can do, but from him. Be rooted in him, be built upon him, and you will produce good fruit. He needs to be our source of life, not the things of the world, but him. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Abiding in him, remaining in him, involves meditating on his word. Doesn't mean you have to have your Bible open 24/7. It means be in the word, reading the word, his scriptures, and then be thinking about it, meditating on it throughout the day. God, what are you teaching me through your word? We abide him. We remain in him by reading the word he gave us. It's God's written word to us. We remain in him by being communication, abiding in him, talking to him, praying with him. God, what are you showing me through this passage? What are you showing to me through these scriptures I'm reading right now to abide in you? Okay, what are you trying to teach me through that? What does it mean? Read his word, allow him to speak to you through that word. And when we do, we will begin changing because he's doing the change. Not us, but him. And we'll begin producing good fruit. When I was preparing for this message, I remembered a video I'd seen, I don't know, probably a couple months ago. But I sometimes when I see a video, I save it on my phone. So I saved it and I was like scrolling through. And I was like, I remember I saw this video from somewhere and I found it. And so I just want to share with you right now. It goes right along with this meditation. So, Ellie, if you can go ahead and
show that. What they found about the effects of Bible reading.
If you want to turn it up, Jeff.
Large. What they found about the effects of Bible reading on somebody's life were pretty shocking. A few years ago, the largest study that has ever been conducted on the effects of Bible reading in the life of a Christian was completed by, it was an organization called the Institute for Biblical Research. I think they studied somewhere around 200,000 people in this study for a long period of time. And what they found was if somebody reads the Bible one day per week, honestly, it doesn't make hardly any difference in their life at all. Hardly any. Then they found if somebody starts reading the Bible either 2 or 3 days per week, the difference was like negligible. You could see it, but it wasn't significant. But what they found is that when somebody begins to read the Bible 4 or more times per week, everything begins to change. Those people are 228% more likely to share their faith, 407% more likely to memorize scripture, 59% less likely to view pornography, 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness, and 50% less likely to experience anxiety. Here's the big idea. When the word and not the world becomes the majority of your week, your life will start to change.
When the word and not the world becomes the majority of your week, your life will start to change. When we start having our roots planted into his word, into him. That's abiding in him. And the majority of our life is spent more in him than in things of this world and in other stuff. Our lives will change. That fruit that was bad can no longer stay there because the source of our life is now him. And so how do we remain in him? How do we abide in him? We stay connected with him on a daily basis. We stay rooted into his scripture. They took a survey of literally hundreds of thousands of people and found, hey, if you read your Bible for more days of the week than you don't, your life will literally change. It said also, I think there was another statistic from that same survey. It said 275% of people who did that increased their ability to go out and make disciples. Because what happened was they weren't just memorizing scripture then. They weren't just having their heart taken over by God and something else. They had a passion grow up within them that they wanted to reach the lost because they experienced life and they wanted others to experience that same life. So I challenge you today, if you have things in your life that are not bringing glory to God, if there's fruit evident in your life that is not something you'd want to show up to God and say, hey, yeah, I had this fruit. No, you want to get rid of it. Start going to God and say, God, I surrender to your will. I repent of these things. I want to get right with you, and I need you to do a work within me. Start praying to him throughout the day. Start spending time in his word on a daily basis. Not just on Sunday mornings, but a daily basis. Make it a part of your routine that, hey, God, I'm going to spend time in your word. Then when the word and not the world becomes the majority of your week, your life will start to change. God is the one who can bring about the change we need. He could change our hearts, change our lives. So we are the trees that are bearing good fruit. My last passage today comes from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 through 8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and does not fear when he comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease yield fruit. When our trust is in the Lord and those hard times come, we will still be bearing good fruit. And there's several different versions of the Bible, obviously, but I really like this one, this New American Standard. It said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. But then it says, and whose trust is the Lord. You see, there's an action trusting in the Lord. A lot of us can come to that place like, yeah, I trust in you, God. I trust in you. And that's what we should be doing, actively trusting in the Lord. But it also says, and whose trust is the Lord. You're not just trusting in someone. He is that entire trust. It's not like, I'm going to trust in you today, God, and tomorrow I'm going to trust in myself. I'm going to trust in you today, God, but tomorrow I'm going to trust in, well, what this other person says. Actively put your trust in him and actively have him as your trust, as your source. Not part, but as everything. He is our all. And if our roots are completely in him and not in the things of this world, the more of that happens, the better our fruit will be. The more that happens, the less that anxiety will be, the less that anger will be coming out, that less those bad fruits will be appearing because our trust is completely in him. Our trust needs to be in him. Is your trust in God, in God alone? Are your roots planted in him? Is your heart clean? We can all go home today and say, okay, that's a good point. And we can leave it like that. Or instead we say, God, I want more of you. God, I want my trust to be fully in you. Not just trust in you today, but trust that you are my trust. And my trust is in you, and my trust is you. Lord, that my heart would be clean. Lord, if there's anything unclean in my heart, Lord, you'd help me start overcoming that, Lord, and you do a work within me. And when we do that, we can begin bearing that good fruit, that fruit that brings life, that fruit that brings others to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in me. Lord, you know, it's been a struggle with all these different things going on in my life, Lord Jesus, but I know you are in control. You are our creator. You are our everything, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray for every one of us here, Lord, that as we go home today, if there are things in our lives, Lord, that are not bringing glory to you, God, that we could surrender them over to you. We could repent if needed, Lord. And we can allow you to be in control and begin doing your work within us. So, Lord, that we can be bearing that good fruit. So that we can be bearing life and bringing life to those around us. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, everybody.